Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor B.J. Stockstill now.
1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to read verses 6 through verses 10. Starting verse 6 says, "If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness." This word train here can also be translated exercise. All right. You may be wondering why in the world all this is up here. Believe me, you're not going to get a show tonight of me lifting all this stuff. If you're thinking that, I'm sorry to burst your bubble. It's not happening. But anyway, this word can be translated exercise. "Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training or exercise is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe." All right, so this passage here, the Apostle Paul is doing something pretty cool, he's doing something that I kind of want to follow his footsteps and what he's doing. He's using a physical thing that we understand, that we can see, and he's using it to teach a spiritual principle. And I'm not one to usually use visual aids or to teach something tonight, but I really believe that it'll help us understand something spiritually that I want us to really get a hold of. But here Paul says that physical training, physical exercise is good. It's of some value, and we can understand that. I mean, obviously, I'm not saying that, you know, we all do what we should be doing. I know I don't. But physical training brings blessings in this life. You know, having a good, healthy diet brings good blessings, and working out makes your quality of life good. But be peaceful, because I'm not going to be talking about that tonight. And because Pastor always says, until you've conquered something, I don't want you to be teaching it. So I haven't quite conquered everything that needs to be conquered in the physical realm. I'm not a specimen of of a man up here. But I do want to talk about spiritual exercise, spiritual training. So this stuff's good. It's of value. But Paul says that spiritual exercise or spiritual training is of value that not only brings blessings in this life, but brings blessings in the life to come. What he's saying is spiritual training in godliness and in righteousness will produce effects in eternity. And that's pretty, that's something to really think about. Now, some of you, I don't want to put me in this group, but some of you are people who work out and have good, healthy diets and you put a lot of effort into that, and a lot of people in our society does that, but a lot of us neglect the spiritual training and the spiritual exercise. And when Paul is speaking to Timothy here, a church leader, really the Holy Spirit speaking to us, and the Holy Spirit saying there's something of much greater value than working out in the flesh, but working out your spirit man, making sure your spirit man is strong and powerful. Our vision this year, in case you weren't here Sunday, is stronger and stronger. Job 17:9 says, "The righteous hold God's ways or his ways. He who has clean hands grows stronger and stronger." See, that verse, though, isn't just talking about grows physically stronger and stronger. The righteous man doesn't just grow. Because if that was true, those of you who have been Christians and growing in righteousness for decades would look like the Hulk right now. So that's not what is talking about here. It's talking about a spiritual strength as we grow closer to the Lord, and if we're walking in righteousness, which is right standing with God, then we're going to grow stronger and stronger in the faith and in godliness and in righteousness. That's what this verse is talking about, and I'm very thankful about that, instead of just talking about the physical physique of a person. But the righteous grow stronger and stronger. And the question I kind of want to answer tonight is, how does someone grow more spiritually stronger and stronger? How do we do that? Well, how does a person grow physically stronger? It's really easy. It's a pretty simple statement. We exercise. If you want to grow physically strong, you have to exercise. You have to stretch those muscles. You have to eat right. Whatever you're putting into your life has to be good, and whatever you're working out has to be effective. And it's the same thing spiritually. It's that you have to spiritually exercise to grow stronger and stronger. You have to produce in yourself spiritual training in order to grow spiritually stronger and stronger. You know, if you ever look at someone or met someone who is ripped, some of y'all in the older generation, that means really strong, not a lot of body fat, just really, you know, but someone who is shredded, someone who's ripped, walking around. I have. Anybody ever met a bodybuilder or came in contact with them? You know, that doesn't just happen to a person. I wish. I would love to go to sleep one night and say, all right, tonight's the night. And then I wake up like, hey, Ashlyn. And have the bodybuilder look, but that's not what happens. And 100% of us in here, we've realized that, haven't we? But it takes a long process to get where these guys are, to get where these people are. It takes a lot of training, a lot of sweat and pain, a lot of tearing of the muscles, and as they heal, they grow larger. And it's a pretty difficult, long process. And now my other question to you is, have you ever met a Christian who is like a mature Christian and spiritually ripped? You know what I'm talking about? It's like these people eat breakfast with angels. You know what I mean? It's like they walk around with a glow and everything about them is just holy. You know what I mean? They're like super Christians. They're ripped spiritually. They're like this. If you could open up the spiritual eyes and just see their spirit man, they look like, you know, Thor walking around with their Bible instead of the hammer. You know what I mean? It's like this spirit is, they have the answer to all of life's questions. They're walking in supernatural Holy Spirit giftings. They lay hands on people, boom, they're healed. They're prophesying words of knowledge, words of wisdom. And then they're also walking in practical wisdom of the word and biblical insight. They know theology. They know doctrine. Not only do they know it with their brain, but they live it out. You look at those people and you're like, man, they got it going. That person is like the best dad or the best mom or the best grandma, and how does that woman do it? I know some of you women look at other women like, how can they be so graceful and so organized and everything's just so going so good for them? And guys are the same thing, except on the whole graceful thing we may not, but we look at guys like, man, they are rocking it. How can they walk stress-free, happy around their wives, happy, their kids love seeing them? And we look at those people, but we've got to realize that that didn't happen overnight. That godly standing that many of our spiritual heroes walk in, it took a process of time. It took years of training. It took years of sweat and tears. And just like the muscle has to tear a little in order to get larger, that they had to have some tearing and some sacrifice and healing in order to get where they are. But a lot of times we look and say, I just want to be like them. But we've got to remember, and it brings a little grace for some of us who hasn't been on this road for, you know, too long, to say, okay, that didn't happen overnight. Because Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, Smith Wigglesworth, we look at some of these amazing men of God. Bill Johnson is one of my, you know, heroes of the faith. He just walks in such anointing. And I look at him, I think, man, I want to be like him. And then, but I got to realize that if I could rewind and watch their life, didn't just happen. They started off somewhere kind of like we did. Unsaved, lost, heathen, right? Now, every mature Christian, like I've said, it took a process. If we would be very transparent, very honest with ourselves, we would say, if whenever we look at somebody physically fit, at times we'll say, I wish I looked more like that. Anybody, or am I the only one? I know I have. I've looked at myself, and I've looked at physically, like, ripped people, and like, I wish I looked more like that. But if we were honest, we would also say, we've looked at spiritual heroes, some very mature Christians say, I wish I looked more like that. I wish my family operated the way they operated. I wish that I didn't have the financial problems like they don't have the finance. Whatever it may be, we look and say, I wish I looked like that. And the truth is, the fact is, we can. Now, nothing's wrong with looking at somebody saying, I want to shape my life and look more like that person. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And so nothing's wrong with looking at somebody saying, I want what they got. Not in a greedy, okay, I don't want to be like, you know, don't covet. Oh, I wish I had their life. I hate my life. It's so awful. But I wish my life looked a little bit more like their life. And nothing's wrong with doing that in the spirit or the physical thing. I need to look a little bit more like that. But we don't need to hate ourselves in the process of getting there. But as we head in that direction, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. We can have it. Just like a bodybuilder, if you're looking at a bodybuilder, they have every muscle that you have. They don't have an extra muscle. They have the same, they have biceps, they have triceps, they have pectorals, they have the abdomen, the abs, they have all the triceps, the forearm, all those muscles. You have those muscles, but they sacrificed and trained to make them grow. And so if you want to look at them like them physically, then you got to, you know, get in gear and sacrifice and do the things that they did. And it's the same thing in the Spirit. When we look at Peter and Paul and John in Scripture and the anointing and the power and the spiritual, I mean, just power that they walked in, they don't. We have every muscle that they have. We have, God's given us everything that he's given to them. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. This verse says, God's divine power has granted to us all things. Okay, everyone say all. Now say things. Okay. That pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. The scripture here says, and it's God's word, we know it's not lying, says God's power, his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have the exact same Holy Spirit that Paul walked with. We had the exact same anointing available to us that the Apostle Paul walked in. We can walk in the same boldness that John walked in whenever they threw him on the Isle of Patmos. We can have the revelation, the power, the anointing. The only problem is, just like many of us look at the physically strong and say, I don't want to do what it takes to get to that point. I don't want to stretch my muscles and make my muscles uncomfortable and have that healthy diet. We look at the spiritually powerful and we say, I would like to automatically be there, but I don't want to stretch myself and grow and exercise spiritually to get there. The title of tonight's message is Exercise Right. Exercise Right. See, if you've ever done any amount of physical training, you know that there is a right way to exercise and a wrong way to exercise. And the wrong way can hurt you pretty bad. And you're not going to see good effects. You're going to hurt your back. You're not liable to hurt somebody else around you. But there's a right way that if we exercise right, then we'll get what we want. We'll produce and see the results that we want to see. One of my favorite things to do, I'm going to pause for just a little bit here. One of my favorite things to do, I'm going to make a confession, is to get on YouTube and watch funny videos. Does anybody else like doing that? I like to, and it's sad, and it may be a little cruel and wrong, but some of the videos that I think are the funniest are the ones that where people do something stupid and they hurt themselves. You know what I'm talking about? I know you said, okay, never mind. Y'all are all Christians. Y'all don't think that's fun. I know there are a few of y'all that find it very humorous when somebody hurts themselves. But what I want to do is I got a video to show you that maybe will help you understand when I say, you know, exercising wrong. These people here will kind of give you a good idea of what I'm talking about. Go ahead, Miranda, play that video for them. What is this guy doing? That's the way I like to work out, Heather. This is my favorite. All right. Everyone that you just witnessed, some of y'all are, you know, really good Christians, and y'all don't think that's funny. The rest of us think that's pretty good. But everything you just witnessed in that video is the wrong way to exercise. You end up hurting yourself. You know, what was that guy doing on the bench just flipping around in the gym? Come on. People deserve to get hurt. Some people deserve to get hurt. It's true. You know, these parkour videos where people's jumping from video to and they end up cracking their skull open. I'm like, you deserve that. I'm never going to jump from a building to another building unless it's on fire or something. Anyway, there's a wrong way to do things and there's a right way to do things. And just like in the physical, if we work out and exercise wrong, we hurt ourselves. And if we work out and train ourselves in godliness, not in the right way, not in the correct way, then it ends up hurting us. And so what I want to do on stage is, you can tell I got several different weights. Some of y'all, this may be your, some of your style, and some of y'all, this may be more your style. And so what I want to do is I want to kind of follow the path that Paul took here and use something physical to help explain a spiritual matter. All right, so let's look at the right and wrong way to work out here. A lot now, I'm just going to talk about the physical for a second, and then I'll tie in some spiritual stuff later. But a lot of us look at weights like this, and we say, no, this isn't happening. Now, I can, you know, lift it up, but don't. Some of y'all, this would be easy. For some of us, it's not. But this thing is pretty. All right, that's as far as I'm going, because I know if I go any further, I'm going to hurt my back, because I'm not using my legs. I'm not getting down that far. We look at stuff like that, and we say, that's heavy, and that's pretty big. That's, some people can work out with that, but not me. And so what we do sometimes, we either don't work out and say, yeah, I'm not ever going to reach that goal, so I'm not going to work out, or we pick up weights like this and we feel good about ourselves, and, you know, we power walk around and we say, this is all the physical exercise that I need. And, you know, obviously, you're never going to get to that point if this is the exercise. These are Miss Cynthia Jones's weights, by the way. And she showed me how to power walk with them, so that's a... But a lot of times we pick up weights like that and we feel kind of good because we're doing something, and so we're sitting here and we're exercising, but the fact of the matter is you will never reach your full potential if you stay on weights like that. Never will. You're never going to reach this. Others see, you know, somebody walk up and they pick this up like it's cheese, you know, it's... They just pick it up, and they start working out, and they're like, man, I saw Rob over here pick it up way easier than I picked it up a while ago. And we see somebody with power, and they pick it up, and they got the big chest and the arms. They set it down. They walk away, and we're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get there. I'm going to do what they do. So although we may not go over to the small weights, we pick something that's a little bit more our style, and we work out with them, and it stretches us, it works us, we build our muscles a little bit, but we get used to that. I'm already worn out. Man, this is ridiculous. You can tell I hadn't done this in a while, right? Microphone's messing up, I'm sweating. But you pick up these weights, and I'm going to pretend they're in my hand, okay? And I want you to pretend with me. Actually, I want you to pretend like the big ones are in my hand. I'll pretend these are. But these weights here in our hand, and we get to working out with them, and our muscles get tired, and they tear a little bit, and then they heal, and they get bigger, and we get strong, and we're using it. And then there comes a point to where those weights, that size, becomes easy to us. And all right, we can do this. You know, now I can power walk with these things, and we're doing all this different stuff with this size weight. But we never want to go to the next step and say, I don't want to go back through that pain. And so we stay, we're doing pretty good with these weights, we're pretty good on this level, and we never move any further. We never become stronger and stronger. We just become strong, and that's good enough, and I'm not ready to go any further. Yeah. But the right way to exercise, obviously there is, you know, a form and all that. I'm not talking about form. But the right way, if you want to reach the power it takes to pick that up, you're going to have to move to the next level. You're going to have to go to the next set of weights and stretch yourself. Make your muscles uncomfortable. Work yourself and get to a place where I can move forward. And then you move on to the next. And this is hard. Like, this stuff is easy now, but the next step, I think this is somewhere around 50 pounds, and I'm not going to curl it. But you get to where you can do this a lot easier, right? And then eventually, as we're on this path, growing stronger and stronger and stronger, there will be a day when we can come, finally, and we can walk in the gym. We can look around like, watch this. And we pick this up, and we start working out at this level, and we become stronger. And through time, this can become easy. There are some people that can curl this amount of weight, which is ridiculously crazy, in my opinion. But it's easy to them. And the hard would be the next level. You see these guys walking around at the shows. This is juice to them. I don't know where that came from, but it's just easy for them, right? They drank it in the morning. Write that down in the dictionary, see what happens. So anyway, so that is physically. I told you Sunday the speaker's going to have fun in here, didn't I? So it comes by easy to them. Now let's look at this in the spirit, all right? Spiritually, we see the Billy Grahams, we see the Bill Johnsons, we see the Tim Brooks, the Ashley Ellisons, we see the spiritually mature operating in godliness and righteousness, and things are going good. And a lot of us say, I can never reach that. I can never, they're pastors, they're evangelists, they're preachers, teachers, whatever. I can never reach that amount of spiritual power or maturity in my lifetime. So what we do, we come over here, I can go ahead and pick these up. We come over here and we say, I'm going to go to church when it's comfortable for me. And that's pretty much my Christian life. And I'm going to keep going and listening to the preacher, and I'm going to keep, you know, going and listening to the music at worship, but I'm never going to take that next step to stretch me. But spiritually, you can't take me serious while I'm waving those around. But spiritually, what we've got to do, and if we don't, we're not walking in righteousness. If we don't do this, we're not walking in the plan God has for us. Spiritually, what we do, okay, we're going to church. We got saved. We move to the next step. We get involved in church. We maybe start giving our tithes. Well, maybe then we have to stretch ourselves going to the next step of, oh, now I'm going to start giving some offering and not just tithe. And we see people over here and we're working out and we look at others like, oh, that guy's a good father. I want to become a better father. I want to become a better mother. I want to become a better worker. I want to have money. I want to be able to do these things. And we move to the next step and we stretch ourselves. And we know, if you've ever been in that stage of, I want to be better, I want to be a better husband, I want to be a better parent, I want to be a better son, a better worker, you know it's uncomfortable. It stretches you. But you've got to take that step and you start working towards that. What a lot of us do in our Christian walk is, man, I'm way better than I used to be. I am voting correctly. I am saving my money. I'm a good worker. I'm a pretty good dad. I'm a pretty good husband. I'm a pretty good mom. I'm whatever. And we never stretch ourselves to the net, whatever it is that we haven't reached yet. Because ultimately, imagine this being like way bigger. And right here, the goal is the man Jesus Christ. The way he walked, the way he operated, the power he walked in, the anointing he walked in. Come on, he spoke words and people were healed. He spoke words and demons fled. I mean, he walked in power. He walked in the anointing. He walked in holiness and righteousness. This is the go. And we look at Jesus and say, whoa, he's way far off. I can't get there. And so we stay here and I'm just going to stay happy where I'm at. But there are some habits I have that I know Jesus wouldn't appreciate. Habits that I have that I know I can get closer and look more like Jesus. But I don't want to stretch myself and get uncomfortable and move to the next level of godliness. I don't want to train myself in righteousness and holiness. Some of and this pertains to all of us in here. We're on different spiritual walks. We're at different levels. It's not that anyone's less or more of a Christian, but some people in here have been Christian for a long time. They have stuff figured out that we don't. But wherever you are, kind of goes along with last week's message, pursuing the Holy One, there's always a next step and more power, more knowledge of God that we can walk in. Right? But we've got to stretch ourselves and train ourselves in that. Some of y'all may be like, I'm doing way good. I give tithe, I give offering, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, I've even been using prophecy or messages in tongues, whatever. But there are still some characteristics or some attitudes or the way you speak to people that doesn't look like Jesus, and you're not willing to stretch out to that next, but we can always become more and more like Jesus. Until you're walking on water, and until you're walking through walls, and before you give your life for the sin of all mankind, you can become more like Jesus. Yeah, all right? We can always stretch ourselves, but it takes exercise. It takes a sacrifice. It takes commitment. It takes time. It takes a good spiritual diet to get to where Jesus is. Now turn back to 1 Timothy real quick. 1 Timothy, back to chapter 4. After he says this, godly training is of much value. It serves a purpose in not only this life, but the life after this. It's really good stuff. Look down at verse 14. I'm going to read 14 and 15. Paul tells Timothy, Holy Spirit tells us, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Look at verse 15. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them so that everyone may see your progress. What Paul is saying here is you got to train yourself. You've got to practice these things. You've got to become better and better and better at this thing. Become more and more like my son Jesus. So much. See, in our Christian walk, we're called to immerse ourselves in the things of God. Not just some of them. I'm going to put my foot in. I'm going to be comfortable here. But I'm going to immerse myself in the things of God. And as I immerse myself in the things of God, I start practicing the things of God. I start doing these things, stretching myself. And as I do that, you'll see even other people will look at you and go, whoa, I see their progress. I'm sure Ben and Angela were the first couple here in the church. And I guess Michelle and Ashley was the first couple, but they came on right after them. And they could look at each other, the Garbys looking at the Ellisons and Ellisons looking at the Garby, and they could both say they are at a place where they weren't when we first started this. It's because they have progressed and grown in the things of God. And if Ashley and Michelle, Ben and Angela, or anyone, Grandpa Byler, if any of us come to this place where I'm not growing anymore, I'm not stretching anymore, I'm not exercising godliness anymore, I'm not training myself in godliness anymore, that's the place where they'll never grow. And they'll be stuck there, and yet they'll go to heaven, and they'll have some blessings, and it'll be a good life. But it doesn't mean that they'll be exactly to the full potential that they could be. We've got to stretch ourselves, exercise correctly, and here's how we do that. If you know that, I'm just going to pick a season. If you're in that place where you've been a Christian for it, you're involved in church, you're doing pretty good, but you've never actually prayed out loud. You don't have a prayer life at home. Here's how we've got to exercise and stretch ourselves, and here's a good way to do it, just a practical way of starting to learning how to have prayer time and praying out loud. Say, I've never prayed for 30 seconds out loud. And you try praying for 30 seconds out loud by yourself. It's a little awkward, it's a little weird, but you put your watch down and, all right, 30 seconds, holy God. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm training and I'm exercising godliness here, and I want to become more like you. And you can start saying, if maybe 30 seconds, starts, that's easy, that's whatever. I can pray for 30 seconds. Try praying for 120 seconds, 2 minutes, man. I mean, some of that's where people are at times. But practice and train yourself. Make yourself go there. And then eventually you come to the place, I've never prayed out loud in front of anyone. I've never been prayed with my family. Tonight, I'm going to be uncomfortable. I may sound kind of funny, but I'm going to stretch myself. Come here, kids. Come on, wife. We're going to pray together. God, we love you. Help our family become more like your son, Jesus. And pray with your family. Stretch yourself out. And then last couple scriptures I want to look at. Turn to 1 Corinthians, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I'm not going to teach on a lot of the stuff in it, but chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians. The youth group, man, they have had this chapter like pounded into them. I talk about it all the time. Chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. I just want to look at the very first scripture and the very last scripture, the last verse and the first verse. It says, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gift, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed. God says, I do not want you to be uninformed here. Paul tells the church, I don't want you to be uninformed. I want you to get these things. Get them. And then he starts talking about prophecy, healing, signs and wonders, miracle, words of knowledge, wisdom, messages and interpretation, all these great things. And then he goes on and says, look, I know not you are all the body of Christ, but not everyone's a teacher or a prophet, not everyone does miracles or administration or even helps, all these different things. Verse 31, though, we often cut that verse out. It says, but. So although you don't do any of this stuff, you don't practice any of this stuff, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. Earnestly desire the greater gifts. And I will show you a more excellent way. Here's what he's saying. If this is where you are in your spiritual walk, and these are the things that I walk in, and I understand, and I know, and I'm comfortable here. He says, desire to keep going. Desire to become stronger and stronger. And the higher gifts, I love how he didn't say, okay, this is the higher gift, or this is the higher gift. What he says is desire the higher gifts. And for each and every one of us, the higher gifts may be different. It talks about speaking in tongues. Well, if I don't speak in tongues, that's a higher gift for me. Maybe I do speak in tongues, but I don't prophesy. That's a higher gift for me. Maybe I do those things, but I don't walk in miracles or healing. That's a higher gift. Wherever you are in your life, and this isn't the only list, but in godliness and righteousness, if you haven't grabbed it yet, that's higher. In a ladder, you're climbing a ladder. Whatever is higher is what's above you, what you haven't gotten to yet, what you haven't reached. Desire those things. Exercise in those things. Train yourself in those things. Whew, this is the last time I'm bringing weights up on stage, I'm telling you. Not unless I'm going to talk this fast, probably, but that may be some of my problem. Anyway, in this spiritual walk, the righteous man grows stronger and stronger. Last year was a good year for Christian ministries. But if we say, all right, we've made Jesus Lord, and we've arrived, that's not righteous. That's not godliness. What we've got to do as individuals, not just as a church, because individuals make up the church. We are the body. Each family represented in here has to make the commitment. God, this year, I'm growing stronger and stronger. I'm going to experience things I've never experienced this year. I'm going to go where I've never gone before. I've never prayed with a stranger. You've never prayed with a stranger? You know, Jesus talked to strangers all the time, witness to them. I'm in public. Oh, no, I'm just going to go to church. I'm going to stand these weights. But God calls you out to go speak to that person, pray to that person. That's where you have to stretch yourself, train yourself. Hey, can I pray with you? And it's going to be awkward, it's going to be weird, and it's going to hurt. But that's exercise. That's training, and that's how we grow stronger and stronger. We've got to exercise right in the spirit. Whenever we get to heaven and our spirit man is there before God, I wish that all of Christian Ministries Church would be bulked out, because we have walked in this lifestyle of immersing ourselves in the things of God and becoming more and more like Jesus.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.